Hello, and welcome to Reading the Library Book, the podcast in which I read the library book one chapter at a time. And still trying to drum up ideas for a new title, and there is some urgency to this question at the moment because there's a very bizarre, strange, technical difficulty. iTunes, for whatever reason, still is not sharing the podcast appropriately. So apparently the only way to get them to list it correctly is to rename the podcast, which is annoying. But given that I'm trying to rename the book, it might make sense to go ahead and rename the podcast in the same kind of moment. So if you have opinions about the title of the book, please do share them with me. At the moment, the poll on the website features two. I've gotten two responses. One is another title. I don't know what that title might be. And the other is for Leandra and the Global Library, which is, so now is the leading contender. So if you have other ideas, let me know. Or if you like that one, let me know. And if you have ideas about what to call the podcast, so if we name the book Leandra and the Global Library, what should the podcast be called? Should it be called Reading Leandra and the Global Library? Somehow that doesn't sound quite as good, does it? Anyway, you have ideas, I'm sure, and I would love to hear them. So that's that bit of business. So if you have ideas, please pass them along. Meanwhile, here we are. This is Chapter 18, The Fifth Key. After Johanna Juditha's extraordinary gate performance, we were astonished that nothing happened and that the door remained closed. We were about to give up and explore another way when a little slot in the door opened, like a mail slot, and a pair of eyes examined us from it. Then the eyes disappeared, and a pair of chapped lips under a gray mustache appeared and said, "Who was it that knocked?" Then the eyes returned again. Johanna Juditha bent down so she could be eye to eye with the gatekeeper and said, "I did."
"You missed a beat in the 15th measure," said the gatekeeper brusquely.
"I could try again," said the music librarian. "I know just which one you mean." The gatekeeper blinked and seemed to consider the problem.
"Well," he said, "I don't like to encourage sloppy playing, but it's been so long since anyone used the right piece at the gates. I'm inclined to let it slide this time."
"Thank you," said the music librarian. "We'd very much like to come in. We're looking for our friend."
"Tall fella? With a camel?"
"Yes."
"Haven't seen him, but we were told to be on the lookout for a tall fella with a camel. Supposed to send him right back where he came from," she said.
"Who said?"
"Doesn't matter. We don't do what we're told here in the waterways. We don't send anyone anywhere we don't want to send them."
"Well, that's good.
Just hang back for a minute, you beat missing travelers. I'll get the gate open in a drop."
The mail slot closed with a clank, and the eyes disappeared. There was a great deal of scraping and grunting and sounds of metal grating against metal, of metal settling into metal, metal sliding into stone. And finally, there was the sound of giant hinges as the gate slowly opened. They revealed, off to the side, a very small, wiry old man turning the handle of a very old-looking crank. When he saw all the animals and librarians, he paused for a moment to look at everyone suspiciously, before telling us to hurry it up and get in. Once we were all on the other side, the gatekeeper began the slow, laborious job of turning the crank in the other direction.
"Can we help you with the turning?" asked the music librarian.
"You don't look any stronger than I am, missy," he said crustily. "So, if you had a bit of rope," said Mahout, gesturing to the elephant, "my friend Sarkis here could pull it close quite easily."
The gatekeeper paused, looked up at the elephant, and then back at his work. Then he continued his effortful turning.
"It's just a bit rusty," he said. "It's good for me."
His face turned red as he pushed again, this time without effect, and then his eyes popped open and he seemed to freeze. "What happened?" asked Johanna Juditha.
"Stuck," he said. "Can't move."
Mahout looked at her library and made a gesture. Sarkis then walked very slowly and as gently as an elephant could, approached the man. Sarkis then took her trunk and wrapped it around the trunk of the gatekeeper and gently lifted him away from his crank and onto the ground. Mahout wrapped a rope she'd found around the crank, and with her trunk, Sarkis turned the crank until the gate was closed behind them.
"Thank you," creaked the gatekeeper.
"Is there an order of the locks?" asked Johanna Juditha. The gatekeeper nodded. "Look, you nodded. You'll be moving again before you know it. Just direct us and we'll lock them all back up," Johanna Juditha said. The gatekeeper was in no position to argue, so he began to direct the group methodically.
"Upper left bolt," he started,
and the elephant, being the tallest among us, slid the bolt into place.
"Middle center," he said.
Cooper, who was closest, slid the bar into place over the handles in the door. The gatekeeper proceeded throughout the range of locks, with all the animals and all of us humans very quickly following his instructions. When it was finally done, the gatekeeper tipped over and started to fall to the ground, still in the same position. Luckily, Plato was close by and ran under to keep him from hitting the stones below.
"Now, where can we bring you, sir? You're locked up tighter than a bank on Sunday. Can we take you to a doctor, or a bed, or a bath, or a chair?" Cooper asked.
The gatekeeper grumbled that he was fine and attempted to shake himself out of his position, but ended up just vibrating a bit.
"Just leave me," he said. "I can't abandon my post. That's my stool there. You can just lie me across it. I'll be fine."
In all the drama with the gatekeeper, we hadn't had time to look around us. But we finally gazed at the scene to see how dire a position we'd be leaving this man in. We stood on a wide stone platform. Just ahead was a murky green body of water. There was a small rowboat tied to the tiny dock that jutted out. There were several stone buildings that seemed to rise out of the water, all with little docks and little boats. The gatekeeper saw us looking and said,
"I hope you all brought a boat."
Mahout looked warily at the murky green water.
"So how deep is it?" she asked.
"I've never measured it," he said, "though some do. It changes throughout the course of the day, sometimes as deeper than others. Do you really not have a boat?"
"Really not," she replied.
He sighed.
"No one ever comes prepared. Not that we get a lot of visitors, to tell the truth, hardly ever."
"Is that your boat?" Toti asked the gatekeeper about a small wooden rowboat.
"Aye, that's Virgil. Gets me to and fro every day."
"I think," Toti ventured, "that one of us should row you home and get you into your bed. You couldn't possibly open the gate in your current state."
"But who will mind the gate?" asked the gatekeeper. "No one can recognize the code but me."
"I can do it," said Johanna Juditha. "I'll recognize it, and I won't let anyone in who doesn't get it right, even the bit in the 15th measure that I missed."
"But the locks!"
"It's just the way the score was written on the page, isn't it? The order, up, down, per measure, like the underside of the piece."
"You're a clever one, aren't you?" said the gatekeeper.
The music librarian looked at her feet.
"All right," the gatekeeper said. "You watch the gate. I'll just get a wee bit rested and then be back to retrieve you before the day gatekeeper comes. His name is Jex. Just in case he's late, you make sure it's Jex before you give up your post. And don't let anyone in without the code, you understand?"
The music librarian nodded. Then began the delicate operation of getting the gatekeeper into his boat. As the elephant began the process of lifting him in, Johanna Juditha pulled me and Toti aside.
Before she could speak, Toti asked her, "Are you sure this is safe, San Mimwe?" she asked Johanna Juditha. "How will we protect you if we leave you here?"
Johanna Juditha looked around and nodded.
"I can watch for Eamon here, and from my studies of the music here, I would assume that this spot is one of the safest places to be in the waterways."
The gatekeeper chimed in to say,
"It is at that. It is very quiet here. Never any trouble at all, not once in my 50 years of gatekeeping."
"Still," said Toti, "I worry about you."
She pulled Johanna Juditha further away and said even more quietly,
"And also, Domfalos."
"And well you should," said Johanna Juditha. "I have been thinking a great deal about this. Given the current conditions, I think the key is no longer safest with me. And while I'd trust every wandering librarian with my life, I am afraid the key will not be safe with any of you either, given what we've seen so far. I think the one person the chair would never think to search and is simultaneously someone I'd trust with any library is you, Leandra. Would you hold one of the 5 keys of the Omphalos for me?"
"Me?"
"Yes, just for a short time, until I've found a place for it." "What do I have to do?" "Just hide it somewhere with you," she said. "And don't give it to anyone but me, or Eamon, or any of the wandering librarians here with us now. Do you think you can do that?"
"Of course," I said.
"Thank you, Leandra," she said, and reached into the front of her dress and withdrew a big gold key with a gold ear on the end. The ear end fit perfectly into the palm of my hand, and I gazed at it. It was mesmerizing. "Now," said Johanna Juditha with a sense of ceremony, "I have entrusted you, Leandra, with the 5th key of the Omphalos, the key of the ear. The Omphalos may only be opened when all 5 keys and all 5 keepers of the keys are there to unlock it together. Guard your key well, and may all your senses be keen."
Toti opened her hands in that book-opening gesture I'd seen the wandering librarians do, and Johanna Juditha bowed her head before looking back up and smiling.
"Now hide it," she said.
"Where's the best place?" I asked.
"Do you have a front pocket?" asked Johanna Juditha.
I shook my head. "Not one big enough for this."
"I have an extra cloth," said Toti. "What if we strap it to you?"
"Good idea," said Johanna Juditha. Toti took a long cloth from her bag, and I held the key against my ribs on the side over my t-shirt. Toti had me hold the cloth over the key and then walked a few feet away to pull the cloth tight. I rolled into the cloth to secure the key and a tight binding of fabric around me. I pulled my sweater back on, and Johanna Juditha and Toti examined me with pride.
"You never know," said Johanna Juditha. "Never," said Toti.
By this time, the complicated process of hoisting the gatekeeper into the boat was complete. Toti climbed in and took the oars. Mahout had been busily uncoiling a long piece of rope, at the end of which she had tied a giant horseshoe. She dropped the horseshoe end into the canal and measured out the rope, a little bit at a time. When she pulled the rope back out after waiting a few moments, she examined it. The rope was green all the way up to the waterline. She sniffed at it, then placed it in front of Sarkis's trunk so she could sniff it as well. The elephant seemed to nod.
"So, algae," Mahout declared, "and only about 4 feet deep. We'll follow the boat. My library can carry 3 on her back."
Toti gave Felix a nod, and the turtle slipped into the water. The librarians had discussed the best way to transport everyone, and it turned out I was going to ride on the elephant, along with Mahout and Cooper. Sarkis reached out her trunk, wrapped it around Cooper's waist, and lifted him easily onto her back. Plato seemed to smile at the sight and swished his scaly tail before sliding into the water next to Felix, the turtle. Then Sarkis wrapped her trunk around my hips. It felt like getting a hug from a warm, fleshy rope. The elephant squeezed me, and suddenly the ground was moving away. I was floating above the waterways, able to see the watery arteries and houses from up on high. The elephant placed me on her back in front of Cooper. It was like sitting on top of a mountain. We are so high up. Then Sarkis picked up her own librarian and placed her in front of me. Mahout instructed us to hold on to one another, and then she shouted down to Toti to cast off. The boat moved out into the water, making a triangle behind it made of clearer water, bunching up the green at the front. The turtle and the crocodile followed behind. When the boat had made a bit of progress into the cove, Mahout told us to hold on tight and gave the elephant a series of taps with her hand. We lurched up, and then almost immediately lurched down again as Sarkis stepped off the platform and into the water. There was a squishing sensation as the elephant's feet hit the bottom of the canal. The water rose up to about a meter below our feet. It smelled grassy and stale. We turned to wave at Johanna Juditha, who had settled onto the old man's stool and looked as if she'd been there all of her life. I pressed my ribs where her key was hidden, and hoped for the best. That, my friends, was chapter 18, The Fifth Key. And a couple of things. So, as I said at the beginning, I'd love for your help with new titles for both the book and the podcast. And if you are someone who has been looking at the website for the text to read along, let me know, because I have been advised by someone who works in publishing to not put the text up on the website. But for those of you who are especially with younger folks doing that, I am happy to email you a copy of the draft so that you don't lose that opportunity to learn and stuff. So if that's going to be upsetting for any particularly small person, let me know. But yeah, I'm going to stop putting up the chapters, and I will eventually probably take the whole thing down. My publishing friend said it's probably okay now since the podcast is not particularly popular, but if it got any more popular, it could start to become risky, apparently. So, yeah. And we hope it becomes popular, right? I think. I don't know. So if you want to tell me anything about either ideas for the name of the book or the podcast or what you made of this chapter, tell me. You can send me an email at leandralibrary@gmail.com. That is leandralibrary@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message at 646-847-8758. That is 646-847-8758. Or however you want to reach out. I'm always happy to hear from everyone, really. Thank you. And as for this particular chapter, I would love to know your feelings about the place. Do you feel like you got enough of a description of this kind of entryway into the waterways? Do you feel like you want to know more about what they see there? It's kind of a lot about the gate and the gatekeeper for a while, and then it becomes sort of focused sort of as more on the key. But that there's not a lot of seeing of the world that they're in. And I wonder how, if that's okay for you. There will be more as they go deeper into this this part of Akita. There's definitely more description of what they're seeing. But if I just wondered if I need to put in a little bit more description somewhere. So let me know your feelings about that and how you feel about that gatekeeper. I think that's all for now. And thank you so much for listening. It's just such a privilege to get to share the book with you. And thanks for any of your helpful ideas. And I will see you next time.